Intelligence is when I give you information, when I give you these facts, when I give you this insight, and it feeds back upon your own personal experience.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining us from Maine. We have Dr. Olivia Audrey in the house. Dr. Olivia, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Really excited to have this woman on our show. She was first introduced to me by a dear friend of mine. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Dr. Olivia, she is a board certified naturopath, author, speaker, and really since the age of three has been displaying her gifts of precognition, medical insight, and quantum intuition, which has led you, to work with a wide variety of clientele such as British royals, celebrities, celebrity athletes, CEOs, Fortune 500 business owners and companies. And I also know, you recently wrote this children book called Arthur Fantastic, which was co-authored with the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, and now in stores and things like that. And one of the things that I love about your work is you really, when it comes to understanding what's really happening with our emotional, our physical, our spiritual system, being able to go right to the heart of the matter and also, bring awareness to mystery illnesses and the things going on. Epstein-Barr is one of them we'll explore that most people, aren't really as aware of. And so excited to dive into all things holistic health, mental health, immune system health, gut health, all the different things today. But welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jules, and I'm so happy to be here. You did a great job with that intro. What I want to, and always my intention, is to share with people not just medical insight, not data, not facts, not statistics. We can go over those, but what I want to create is intelligence. And so intelligence is when I give you information, when I give you these facts, when I give you this insight, and it feeds back upon your own personal experience, what you're actually going through in your life. And it comes forward as applicable, and it comes forward as something that's relatable and that you can use to live better and to take your life and your health and your emotions and your spirit to the next level.
I love that. And, I think especially, Olivia, right now, we've been in this pandemic, we've had COVID, there's been a lot of stuff on the planet awakening. And I feel like getting a better grasp on, this holistic health is also bringing a lot of other things to the surface that might have been dormant, in the physical body, whether it's autoimmune or gut or different things like that. And curious if you just have any perspective on what's happening right now, and just as a frame for our listeners to kind of step into on, some questions they can start asking themselves as they look deeper into their own health and well-being.
Well, I think in this time of COVID and so many other things that are kind of orbiting around in our atmosphere, the number one perspective that it's given to us is how healthy are we, not just as a culture, not just as a country, but individually. And that has brought forward the realization that maybe each of us individually and collectively are not as healthy as we thought that we were. And so what I'm seeing from the collective and from society and really the world as a whole is that in terms of health and wellness, people have begun to take themselves off of autopilot. And that's a really great thing, because I'm a firm believer that we are not designed to be prescribed a pill for every symptom and every condition. There's always a why. There's always a why. If your body is translating something that feels like pain to you, there's always a why for that. Even if it hasn't been found, it just means it hasn't been found yet. So as elusive as COVID is, I think that also offers so much hope for those of us that have suffered with, sort of phantasmic ailments for a long time that weren't able to be diagnosed, and maybe we received misdiagnosis. And so I think it's really caused us to go inward a great deal and to have a conversation with our bodies about, sort of where is our homeostasis? Where is our personal pivot point of health, because it's going to be different for every single person. And, you know, pandemics aside, I think that the benefit of this and the gift of this is that it's making us all take a closer look at what are we feeding our bodies? Are we feeding our bodies actual nutrition? And, you know, what, how are we wearing our bodies? Are we keeping our bodies in this perpetual state of stress? And how do we feel about our bodies? Do we feel like we are in our bodies having a life experience, or do we feel like our body's the adversary? And if that's the case, we really need to open it up to a bigger platform of why does it feel that way and how can we change that? Because your body, you know, you spoke about autoimmune. The number one misunderstanding is that our bodies break down, they deteriorate, and they fail. On the contrary, especially when you see an autoimmune virus, our bodies are exquisite, intricate organisms that are programmed to withstand an enormous amount of stress under some really dire circumstances. If you knew and could calculate how many different systems and levels and processes had to occur just to be born, it would give you a really distinct appreciation of how much our body is really on our side. And if we are like a quote unquote deterioration of our body, we have to ask ourselves why that is. And furthermore, how do we sort of heal that relationship with our bodies? Because our bodies do want to work for us. They are designed to work for us.
I love that. And I definitely, you know, unconventional lifers want to get into some autoimmune stuff specifically. And recently, actually, Dr. Olivia was helpful in, you know, helping me diagnose an autoimmune thing, Epstein-Barr, which I've had going on for who knows how long. But it actually showed up, you know, like chronic fatigue. It showed up with, you know, am I, you know, bipolar? Is there mental health? What's going on here? And so I think there's a lot of intelligence and wisdom, as you're pointing to, in our system. And it takes time to understand the deeper cuts of what's going on. But before we get into that, you know, I know you've had kind of a wild ride to get to this point. And there's a reason why, you know, people like the royal family and some of these celebrities have you on their staff, because you have these really insane gifts. And I just want to zoom out for a moment and just if you could share, if we were a fly on the wall, you know, what would we have seen in some of the moments as, you know, your intuition, as these gifts developed, and just as our listeners get a little bit of the world of where you came from and, you know, what it was like in this development process of arriving to this moment today.
Oh gosh. So it has been a wild ride. And in fact, that's the exact vernacular that I use to describe my life. And I feel like, you know, in contrast to a lot of people that feel like they get older and they age, I feel younger and better and more centered every single year. So whatever, you know, gift this is and why ever I received it, I'm so grateful that I did, because I find myself in this perpetual state of exploration. I have been able to sort of be a walking MRI machine, and I don't ever remember not having that ability. So for me, you know, I know a lot of people talk about their spiritual awakening or tapping into their intuition. For me, it was like I was born with the light switch turned fully on. And so for me, intuition is very conversational, you know, and it's very much an intricate thread of my fabric. You know, it's brought me to a lot of amazing places and incredible opportunities to help people and to teach people to help themselves, which is really my favorite thing. But I remember being, gosh, 5, 6 years old, and I was at a baby shower with my mom, and I sort of pointed at this woman and said, breast cancer. And I don't necessarily remember all of the details, but my mom fills in the blanks. And she says, you know, you kind of were the biggest buzzkill ever, you know. And so she sort of, you know, explained it away like, oh, she's a little weird. You know, she sometimes says things and, you know, it bothered the woman enough that she went and had a screening, and turns out she had stage 2 fully interventional breast cancer that was able to be treated and saved her life. But at the time, I mean, I didn't even know what that was, but I just knew that I saw it as an orbiting reality. So my intuition works like I will see the coalescing of cells, and they'll give me, they being my guides, you know, wherever that information comes from. And at this point, I've recognized and appreciated that it comes from a variety of sources. So it's really this highest perspective, if we were to put a magnifying glass on our world and on our lives and break it down to the smallest atomic particles, that's where this information flows from. And so I'm able to look at someone and just know what is going on with them. And, you know, I always use the analogy of the magic school bus. If you remember, Miss Frizzle would load all the kids in the school bus, and I'm probably dating myself with this, and they would go into the human body and sort of explore. And that's what I do. So it's, you know, it's been a really interesting journey and evolution, but it has been unorthodox for sure. And it became really difficult, you know, as a young wellness practitioner and, you know, medical student to explain why I felt like this 22-year-old had heart disease, but I just knew that they did. And so I sort of learned to carve out a niche for myself, which straddles both sides of that line of spirituality and science, because one thing that I've learned is that the body follows suit of the mind and of the spirit and not the other way around. And if we're not addressing the spirit first, anything that we do with the body will be temporary at best.
Unconventional lifers, are you ready to take your life and business to the next level? Come join us in Patagonia this December for a total solar eclipse. We have rented out a private piece of land overlooking the river, overlooking the volcanoes, with different hot springs, stages, and various other things for a 5-day business and life accelerator. If you are ready to make 2020 and 2021 the year that you said yes to yourself, head over to entrepreneurship.voyage/Patagonia to get all the details. Hope to see you there.
I love that. And I think it's such a good, you know, point to reflect on. And, you know, I think even in your story as well, it's like having these gifts that, you know, you can't explain, and then looking to science to be like, okay, well, can I explain them over there? And they really are integrated in approach. And, you know, I imagine a lot of our listeners, they have these gifts, whether they're newly discovering them, they've been there for a long time. And this question of how do I integrate those gifts in my work in the world? How do I take, you know, this intuition, and as a culture, oftentimes it can be weird or unpredictable or inconsistent. Like you said, you're just like 5 years old and you're like breast cancer, you know, it's like, how do we place that? But also I feel like you've learned to really be able to integrate. And I wonder if you just have any advice or perspective on anyone right now that's actively working with their gifts. And they're like, I know I can do these things, but how does that translate to money? Or how does that translate to career? How do I use that as a tool? And so I'm sure you've asked yourself those questions along the way, and anything you can share about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the number one thing that I tell people is that you have to understand that if you are being called to, you know, use your gifts, or if you are being called to, you know, receive information, first of all, honor that. And the number one mistake that I see people making is that they receive really valid information or insight, and they immediately dismiss it because they think, who am I? Or that doesn't make any sense. Well, one of the sort of, you know, rules that I've come to live by in doing my work is the less sense that it makes to me in my cognitive brain, the more sense that it's going to make to the other person. So the number one step is trust. You know, and probably the second step after that is ask yourself, how does that feel? How does it feel to wear that experience and to channel those gifts? And if it feels like it really resonates as truth for you, then that's something that you should take a step forward into professionally. And, you know, there's absolute value in having it be sort of something that's ancillary in your life and that, you know, you use for your own benefits and your family and yourself. But there's also a great deal of benefit, I believe, in, you know, bringing that to the world. And that's what I really want to encourage people to do. And it sounds really cliche and really campy, but if you build it, they will come. So you will make money. You will attract that, you know, abundance factor, that law of attraction, that manifestation that we hear so much about when you step forward into your truth. Of course, like any other business model, you have to temper that with, what am I really good at? What's my specific thing? And then you hone in on that. So I would say that it's really the marriage of kind of, you know, your calling with sort of a business sense or a sense of how do I want to be disciplined and organized within that? Because when you step into the realm of the esoteric, it can be a little bit chaotic, and it's really fun and cool to, you know, channel and do these things and give readings. And there's absolute value in that as well. But if you want that to be your career, you want to step into that truth, the number one thing is to ask the universe to show you the different ways in which that is possible. And when you ask for that and you remove any blockages of that, you will be shown a way. That's just the way that it works. If you have a desire, if you have a thought that this is what you want to do with your life and with your profession, then that means it's a done deal already. And you just have to align yourself with the path as it rolls out for you.
I love that. And I know also, you know, you teach a workshop called Soul Mechanics, which is really this interactive workshop on the archaeology of the soul. And you've been working with psychotherapist Elizabeth Winkler on that and really taking people through some of these exercises. And just wondering if there's a practice or, you know, an exercise that you could leave our listeners with, and just one of the ways that you continue to expand on what you just shared and to really keep that intuitive listening sharp.
Yeah. So one of the things that I always impart upon my clients, especially when, you know, people call me and they say, okay, I want you to take me on for your 30-day or 60-day or a year coaching. And I just want to dive deep. And I really want to sort of artifact my soul and see what's in there and past lives and all of that. The first step is we have to clear away any resistance, because it's not a matter of, you know, piping in intuition. It's there. We just have to clear any roadblocks that may be preventing you from fully receiving it. So one of the first and easiest steps that I always recommend is in the morning when you wake up, before you reach for your phone, and I'm just as guilty of this occasionally as, you know, as a business owner, as anybody else, but before you reach for your phone, really, even before you open your eyes, I want you to take just even 5 to 10 seconds. That's all that it takes to start this momentum, and really dive into how you feel physically. And even if you're somebody that's living in a chronic pain pattern, that should be the moment where your body's the most relaxed. There's all sorts of feel-good hormones and chemicals that are being released. And I want you to feel and appreciate how sound your body is, how good your life is, how comfortable the bed is. And live in superlatives is my rule of thumb. So this is the most comfortable bed ever. This is the, you know, most warm pillow ever. Whatever you need to do to reach for that really juicy, luxurious vibration of just gratitude. Because when you start your day on gratitude, it literally rewires the brain to receive other components of gratitude throughout the day, which also leads you into a greater understanding of your intuition. The second thing occurs at night, actually. So I want everyone, if you've never tried it before, to attempt the practice of lucid dreaming. And I hear a lot of people say, gosh, you know, I tried it, I don't think it works. It may take some priming the pump, but I promise you that this is one of the best blockbusters for getting rid of any debris or any sort of hesitation that you may have in your subconscious state. So think about what it is that you want to dream about, where you want to go, questions that you want to ask. And this works for me as well. It's sort of that analogy of the painter's house is never painted. So I could give anybody answers to every aspect of their life all day long. When it comes to my own, kind of like fumbling in the dark over here. So if I want the answer to a question, I will say before I sleep, I will say, please let me dream of the truth of this situation. And 10 times out of 10, I will receive images or insight, and I will wake up and go, ah, I got that. Now I understand it from a perspective that I would give someone else. So lucid dreaming and sort of orchestrating you to be shown the areas that you need to release resistance. And that's resistance in all forms. Resistance of, you know, your best physical feeling life ever, or emotion or relationships or money or whatever. And then have a pad of paper and a pen beside your bed. And I want you to, if you wake up at any point in the night, or even after you've done the gratitude exercise in the morning, write down whatever word, whatever color, whatever emotion, one or two, don't want you to get complicated about it because it doesn't need to be, that you feel. The first thing that comes to your mind, don't think about it and don't dismiss it, and write it down. Keep it in your bedside drawer or, you know, on your desk or whatever. And over the course of a week, I want you to revisit that list and tell me if you can see a pattern there. Because this is sort of, you know, the way that the universe and your soul communicates. And these are, you know, kind of the hieroglyphics of the next step on our path. So those are two exercises where we're really delving into the subconscious, which is, of course, the closest route to your intuition.
Yeah, so, so good. The gratitude and then the lucid dreaming at night. And, you know, I think if we also look at the this nature of the conversation we're having, it's like, how do you integrate, you know, the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical health? And I think this is such a great gateway, unconventional lifers, in accessing and really continuing to develop that part. And, you know, I'd love to transition now more to the physical side, which was, you know, where we started as well around, you know, these autoimmune and Epstein-Barr and different things like that. And just listeners as some context. So, you know, Dr. Liv and I were introduced by a mutual friend and, you know, to have her on the podcast. And as we got talking, she literally was like, Jules, I think you might have some of these things going on. And she was like, have you ever heard of this Epstein-Barr thing? And I was like, oh, kind of like mono, like back when I was younger or whatever. And she's like, have you ever considered like the reactivated part of it? And long story short, I ended up getting a blood work panel and showed that I did have some high levels. And, you know, now we've been working to kind of get an understanding of, you know, what's been going on that's making me tired a lot of the time this past year. It's been impacting my mental state. It's been hard for me to be really consistent with what I'm creating. And so it was this whole world for me that I didn't understand. And I know you come across things like Epstein-Barr and these mystery illnesses that as entrepreneurs and as people, you know, we try to figure out like, why am I being taken out of the game? I'm meditating, I'm eating all the right food, I'm doing all the right things, but why am I so tired? Or why is this, you know, so hard? And I think there's a perspective you offer that can give some awareness and insight into some of that. And so I'd love if you could share a little bit about, you know, just a trend of what you see in terms of, you know, clients and people that come to you with these mystery illnesses. And then also what Epstein-Barr is, and for me, I know you see it all the time, and it can be at the corner for a lot of people of a bigger health things that are going on.
So Epstein-Barr is really this silent spreading epidemic, and it is, as I, you know, so lovingly term it, the granddaddy of all autoimmune. So really very, very few, if any, cancers originate without the presence of Epstein-Barr preceding that. So essentially what that means is that our body is already in this autoimmune response state where we're experiencing, you know, cytokines and all of these things, and elevated white blood cells and inflammation, on and on and on. And it's very specific for each person's experience, but it's not good. But the thing about us as humans and really, you know, our culture is that we're programmed to just keep going. Just keep going, just push through it, just pop an ibuprofen, you know, okay, so you're tired, you know, everybody's tired. And so it can be really easy to lose these glaring symptoms in the shuffle of everyday life. And we then just continue on with them, none the wiser. And so they continue to grow. And Epstein-Barr virus is one of those viruses that, unfortunately, the longer that it is within the system, the more that it can readily adapt to what it needs. So it loves really nutrient-rich, you know, blood supplies and the nervous system. That's where it really thrives. And a lot of other viruses and conditions sort of piggyback on Epstein-Barr. So we hear a lot about Lyme disease, and it's really become quite prevalent in the last 20 to 30 years in our area and in our culture anyway, but it's not a really great standalone virus, and it can be really elusive. So, you know, lots of people will come to me and they say, well, here's the thing, like I tested positive for Lyme, and then, you know, 6 months later I tested negative, and now I'm testing positive again. What is up with that? And the answer is that typically, those viruses like Lyme, Candida, Epstein-Barr virus, and Epstein-Barr and sort of exist. So when we are approaching Epstein-Barr and when we've identified, hey, look, this is an issue, it's showing up in blood work, when we specifically go looking for it, we automatically go after Epstein-Barr first, because if we can disable the Epstein-Barr, then typically it's like a house of cards with a lot of these other issues, and they kind of follow suit.
Totally. And how prevalent is Epstein-Barr? And what are some of, I know you mentioned Lyme, but you know, some of the symptoms that you start to see or some of the things that people think is going on and then underneath it ends up being Epstein-Barr?
Well, Epstein-Barr presents first and foremostly as mononucleosis. It does not have to present as mononucleosis, though, and that can be the tricky thing. There are a variety of ways in which we can contract it. It can be passed from mother to child during childbirth. That's a really, really common way. You know, you can get it through all of the same ways that you would contract mononucleosis. There is some research that hints that we may be contracting it through some vaccines that were issued generationally. So it's one of those things that's a moving target where we can't exactly pinpoint, okay, this is where I got Epstein-Barr. It was on this date and I was wearing, you know, a yellow sweater, et cetera, et cetera. It's really not that easy. But what we can do is we can get a really good snapshot of our body's response to it. So we may experience it primarily as mono, or there may be no symptoms. And I think that that's been the really difficult thing in treating it, is because it never behaves the same way. So very similar to COVID in that way, it sort of morphs and changes and adapts. It's a very smart virus in terms of its longevity. So that you may have symptoms, you may not. What I find is that a lot of people don't experience symptoms until latent stages. So for example, they may not have any evidence or any inclination to think that Epstein-Barr is present until they have massive digestion issues or massive rheumatoid arthritis, like a fibromyalgia, or something like that. So there's not really one specific way or one specific, you know, spectrum of symptoms, but typically there's about five that show up as sort of the big five, when whether you've had it, you know, newly. So the five symptoms are typically digestive issues that, you know, you've experienced chronically or may show up randomly or out of the blue. Random inflammation, and that can be just like, you know, rashes on the skin or your joints feeling inflamed. Typically joint pain can accompany that, which is why oftentimes it gets misdiagnosed as Lyme. There are headaches, migraines, fatigue, and also sort of random neurological pain. Yeah. And those are the five that Absolutely. We see. Those are the five that we see that we go, okay, we have to dig a little bit deeper. But again, if you think about those symptoms, it's kind of, you know, a scenario where a lot of them can be easily dismissed. And so that is how Epstein-Barr gets missed. And also it's really not on the forefront of most Western medical docs, forefront of what they're looking for. And so you really kind of have to be an advocate for looking for that and digging a little bit deeper.
But also, you know, just the hope of how once, you know, you start to understand some of these things, people can also recover and actually, you know, not have to live with bloating for the whole life and being like, hey, it's yeah. not bloated all the time. There's something going on, for example.
Right. Well, I think the education is key. And so I always advocate that you have a conversation with your body first. And what are some of the symptoms, you know, and maybe even write them down that you've been living with for a really long time that may just seem like commonplace to you, but when you string them all together, maybe pointing to a looming or just kind of baseline low-level autoimmune condition. And the thing about Epstein-Barr is that it is treatable. It's very limited in terms of treatment in allopathic medicine, but natural medicine offers a wide array of options for Epstein-Barr and more all of the time. People are recovering from this. And you know, the other thing to understand is that Epstein-Barr, even if you're experiencing it in the stages where you're having chronic fatigue and you're having a lot of these symptoms, we really want to address it then, because it can, you know, as we said before, become something or evolve into something later on down the road if left untreated and compiled with stress and all of these elements that may just be a little bit more difficult to treat and to address. So earlier intervention is really key. And you know, I will say that there are a ton of resources, again, more every day, that are highlighting Epstein-Barr and people's struggle and recovery from it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, Dr. Liv, I feel like you and I could be going on for for a while about Epstein-Barr and all the different things that unconventional lifers, just as another frame to look at your health, you know, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically as well. And I know you've got a lot of resources on your website and things like that. But for now, let's jump into the rapid fire round. This is a series of lightning questions coming at you. And we're gonna dive in. Then unconventional lifers, we've got some great stuff to share with you just after that. So are you ready for this lightning round of questions?
Lay it on me.
All right, let's do it. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I thrive on my morning coffee.
Love that. Next question. What is something in your life that you're really proud of right now?
Hands down, my kids. Out of anything that I've ever done, it has been the most stressful, occasional train wreck, pirate ship, but ultimately beautiful journey I've ever been on. I'm ultimately so proud of who they are becoming.
Next question. If there was a piece of advice that you could give to your former self around the age of 14 that you know now, what would you say to her?
Well, 14 was a really weird age, as you might imagine. You don't get many dates to the prom when you see dead people. So I would tell her, just suck it up and embrace the weirdest parts of yourself, because I promise you those will end up being your superpowers.
I love that. And last question, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
So to me, living the unconventional life really means, how do you feel every day? Are you chasing success or are you chasing fulfillment? And that level of fulfillment is really the ultimate success. So in every day, what is your message? What is your calling? And how unorthodox can you live your life and still make it work for you and be fun? And that's something I certainly try to establish and try to work on every day.
Yeah, I love that. Dr. Liv, everyone, I know that you've got a lot of resources on your website. You've got a 7-minute reset. You've got all kinds of things. For those that want to learn more about what you're doing or actually, you know, curious about their own well-being, like, you know, how do I know what I've got going on? I know you're offering a lot of different things that you open yourself up to. What's the best way for people to stay in touch and to follow along on your journey?
Well, absolutely. Visit the website. So it's www.oliviaaudrey.com. On Instagram, the real Olivia Audrey. And, you know, typically me or my team respond to messages pretty quickly. And there's all of the contact info listed there. So those are the places that, you know, you'll get the most up-to-the-date medical insight, as well as a glimpse into my life, which is really quite unconventional.
I love that. And I know you've also got the Live Better podcast that, you know, airs on Wednesdays. Curious if you want to share a little bit about that with our listeners and what they can kind of tune into and expect from that.
So Live Better starts September 9th, and it's live every Wednesday at 12 Pacific. And essentially, we are going to have guests on that are experts in their field and combining conversations and insights and really provocative discussion to help us all live better, that next tier of wellness, of fitness, of life, of beauty, of skincare, whatever. And then, you know, the natural evolution into, you know, how do we implement that in our lives? So, and that is hosted by LA Talk Radio. Again, it's every Wednesday starting September 9th at 12 Pacific.
Amazing. Unconventional lifers, you can head over to our website at unconventionallifeshow.com. We will put that information on how to tune in there, along with Dr. Olivia Audrey's other links and things like that. So thank you so much for being a part of our show today, for sharing, you know, your intuition, also a bit about Epstein-Barr, your own journey of being like a 5-year-old and trying to figure out your soul's gift and your place in the world. I think a lot of us, including myself, can resonate with that in our own way. So it was great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Jules. It was absolutely my pleasure.
Unconventional Lifers, we'll have more amazing content coming at you all soon. Thanks so much, everyone.